Well, hello, and how are you? It's Debbie Majella here, a woman of persistence, and I'm coming to you live today from Glen Applin. And I hope you're doing great and life is treating you extremely well. Today I'd like to share with you why I moved to Glen Applin, and I think it's time I sort of let people know the story. So it was probably back in January 2021, I just realised that it was time for me to secure my future. As a single lady, being married twice, and I had been divorced for about 2 or 3 years, and after my divorce I was renting a place on the Gold Coast. And I just realised that life was changing and the prices for real estate on the Gold Coast just wasn't within my budget. And at 61, it wasn't going to be that easy to get a mortgage. So I decided to start looking in the country areas. And I was very surprised to find this beautiful little village called Glen Applin, which is about 10 minutes from Stanthorpe in Queensland. The interesting thing is I had been visiting the Stanthorpe region for about, well, probably for 20 years back in, I would have been around about 2002, I started coming out to the Stanthorpe area because I used to promote and sell esteem jewellery. And one day I had a lady say to me at a esteem jewellery party, because it was done through party plan, how far would you travel to do a presentation? And I said, oh, well, where do you want me to go? And she said, Stanthorpe. And I went, where is Stanthorpe? And she said, well, it's 3 hours from here. And I said, well, yeah, sure. You accommodate me and drive me out there because I don't know where I'm going. And I'll do the party presentation with esteem jewellery. So what happened was with esteem jewellery back then, the hostess got incentives. So the more party bookings she got, the more hostess gifts she received of this beautiful jewellery. And the delivery was 3 weeks after that. So basically every 3 weeks for nearly 3 years, I used to drive out to Stanthorpe. I'd stay in a very basic motel and I'd do the party presentations with the jewellery. I'd deliver the jewellery to the other hostesses. And that's what happened. So it was really interesting when I found this beautiful block of land at Glen Applin. And that's my little dog barking there, of course. When I discovered Glen Applin being so close to Stanthorpe, and how it actually happened, I did a Google search. I had a budget, and within that budget, I just put, you know, land, country, Queensland, and up came Glen Applin. So you see, it was meant to be. And I saw quite a few blocks of land, and I was looking at buying a house, a cottage, a Queensland cottage that had been moved from land in Cooperoo in Brisbane. And I couldn't secure the purchase of the house until I'd secured land. So what I did, I contacted the real estate. It was a Sunday. I texted and I said, would it be okay for me to come out tomorrow, Monday? It was in February 2021, to have a look at this particular block of land. And you know, I didn't tell anyone, I didn't share it with my family or my friends what I was doing, because you know, sometimes people then put doubt in your mind. So I decided just to do it all on my own. So I came out, I looked at the land, and I actually stood where, you know, the front of the house would go, and then I stood at the back of the house, and I thought, well, you know, this will be great. I can sit here with the veranda, or sit out in the veranda in the mornings and have my cup of tea. I've got a beautiful view of just lovely trees, and you know, it's not far from the New England Highway, and sure, we still have traffic. But then I stood at the back where the extension will be for the veranda, and I looked at the beautiful sunset. I came back one afternoon and looked at the where the position would be for the sunset, and I just fell in love with the place. It had no trees, or it has no trees, it has no trees on the land, which in one way I would have liked to have had some trees. But the thing is, sometimes when you buy a block of land with a lot of trees, then you've got to have a lot of trees cut down, which is not what it wasn't what I wanted to do. So that's one of the reasons I did purchase it. It was a good block of land, quarter of an acre. The front view was perfect for my cups of tea. And every morning, my little dog Benji and I, we go for a walk around about 6:30. And when we come back, not in the cold winter, but at the moment, in September, it's beautiful. We sit out on the veranda and I have my breakfast and my morning coffee, and he sits out there and he has his crunchies and something else he wants to eat. And that's what we do. We really enjoy it. So the cottage was moved to the land, and it's a 1950s country cottage. So when the cottage was moved to the land, it took a year. So I bought the land in February 2021. The cottage was moved onto the land, I think it was around about February the 26th of 2022. And the house did have to be renovated. Three bedrooms. It's an open plan style house, and it's got three bedrooms, a bathroom with a bath. I wanted a bathroom with a bath, and you know, one toilet. But it's 92 squares, and it's just the perfect size for myself and for when, you know, family or friends come and visit. So the house is on steel stumps, and it was a very exciting time to see it arrive and to watch, you know, them place it in the position where it had to be and the stumps being done. So that was that part of the journey. But then I had a few little issues, and I'm just going to share with you today what actually happened. What happened was the three bedrooms had asbestos in the rooms, and that was removed from the company that I purchased the house from up in North Brisbane before it came out to the land. But what happened was they hadn't done the clean correctly. So the tradespeople, as in builder and electrician and plumber, would not work in the house or the cottage until I had the professional clean done. Now, I had paid for that through this house removal company, and I'm not going to mention any names because there's no need to. But the thing was, I had to then find someone to come out and do the asbestos clean. So, you know, there's a lot of obstacles to, a lot of challenges, a lot of curveballs. You know, also too, with a house, when you move onto a block of land, you have to have tie downs. And even when you build a house, you have to have tie downs. So one day I was just looking at the building application that's put into council, and I was just having a look at the engineer report that I had paid, again, some money for, to have it done with this house removal company. And I thought, this doesn't seem right. So I spoke to the builder and the plumber, and they said, well, we better stop doing what we're doing, because if you have to have tie downs done, you know, it's going to cost you, one, a lot of money, and it's going to, you know, affect every corner of the house, every room. So everything was on hold again, and I contacted the correct person at the council to ask him about it, and who comes out and checks the house or the cottage when it's completed. And he said, "Oh, Debbie, you should be okay, because you've got a tiled roof, not a tin roof, but you'll have to get another engineer's report." Now, you've got to realise I'm in a country town of, you know, 5,500 people at Stanthorpe, 500 out at Glen Applin. There's not a lot of engineers out here. It's not like you're in the city. So again, everything had to be put on hold until I had someone come out and check it. And I did. I had a really lovely engineer who came out. It took about a week for him to come out, and he looked through it, and he had his sidekick with him, and he said, "Oh, no, you're fine." He said, "All the tie downs are here," and he showed me what he was talking about, because remember, there was, in the three bedrooms, they'd been gutted, so there was no ceilings, no walls, and he could see where it all was. Otherwise, they would have had to have gone up through the manhole and gone through that area and had a look. So he said, "Debbie, you know, I think I've got to fill in form ABC 261, something like that. I'll check with the council and I'll let you know." So he did. The next day, he told me he had to do ABC form 261, which he did, and he sent through to the council on my behalf. But I was very pleased that he actually didn't charge me. So that was a little bit of a bonus. So, yeah, there you go. No one builds a house or even buys a house or moves a house, and everything is goes so smoothly. So the house got here at the end of February, and then I think it was the Easter weekend. I'll just go back. I couldn't find anyone to do the insulation and the walls and the ceiling. So I did, and a few friends helped do one room, but I did all the insulation in the walls in two rooms, and I did the insulation in the ceiling in the three rooms, and that was not a pleasurable experience, I can assure you. And then I had the builder do the rest of the house, because it was just too hard for me to get up there and do it. And the reason I had to do it, no one wanted to do that job. You know, there's a lot of tradespeople around, but they want to do what they want to do. And no one wanted to do that job. So then, oh, it's quite funny when I talk about it and have a bit of a giggle. And then I contacted a painting company to come and paint the exterior of the three bedrooms, and I had to wait 8 weeks, and I couldn't wait 8 weeks. I had been living in a cabin for 3 months, then I was living in a caravan for 2 months, and you know, I had to get into the cottage, you know, for my mental health. And so Easter weekend I painted. That's it. I did the painting. I painted three rooms. I did the ceilings. I did the walls. And, you know, sometimes you just got to step up and you got to make it happen, and you got to do what you've got to do. So that's what happened with that. And then the following week, so May, I would say I moved in. So, excuse me, May. So I've been in the house now. I've been living in the house for 5 months. There you go. How exciting is that? And the cottage, now a lot of my friends have visited from the Gold Coast. And when they walk in, they go, "It just looks like you've been living here forever." I suppose because all my belongings that I had on the Gold Coast in my rental house is here. And so they're still seeing the familiar pieces of furniture. But I've always wanted, this is the thing, I have wanted to live in the country for a long time. And what stops, well, what stopped me, or what stops anyone really, is the fear of the unknown. And, you know, can I do it? Will I be able to do it financially? But sometimes we've just got to, you know, for me, I was securing my future. Now, I'm now 62 years young, and life has changed in the last couple of years. We all know why. But I just thought that, you know, when I'm 65, 67 or 70, you know, where am I going to live? Will I be able to pay the rent? What is life going to be like for me? You know, I have a business. I have a skincare range. I'm in the beauty industry. I love doing non-invasive, pro-aging beauty treatments and helping women to stay youthful. And we can earn good dollars, but we have to also pay out money because of the cost of living and insurances and products, packaging, labels, all those sort of things. So I really had to really think about it. And I shocked a lot of people when I left the Gold Coast, because I'd been living there for nearly over 40 years. And I came out to a village, as I said before, there's 505 people, or 505 residents in the Glen Applin area, and I think 5,000 in the Stanthorpe area and surrounding. I have to do some research on that. But when I came out here, I didn't know anyone. That it was just, I wanted to secure my future. I wanted to live in the country. I wanted to have a fireplace. I wanted the climate. I wanted the cold seasons. You know, again, it's something I have wanted to do for a long time. But when I was, you know, a single parent, after my divorce, as I said, I've been married twice, as a single parent, you know, you're always putting everything, everyone or your child first and other things last. And the cost of living, I just, you know, things just, life gets in the way. We get up, we rinse and repeat, you know, we get up, we go to gym, we walk, we exercise, we go to our place of business, we work, we pay our bills, and we have a little bit of money left over. And, you know, sometimes I think life might have been easier if I worked for someone else. But for me, I've always enjoyed working for myself, even though it has been difficult at times. So that's part of the journey, part of the story. And so here I am in the end of September. It's the 1st of October tomorrow. And now that I've settled, and I actually have settled in the house, and still a little bit of painting to do, still a few little things to do, but you don't paint in winter out in the cold climate. You've got to wait until summer, like it's nice and warm. But basically, I would say it's 95% complete. The builder has just a few little minor things to do. But as of the 1st of October tomorrow, and now that I feel really settled and I feel welcomed within the community, you know, I've met some amazing people out here. Really, they're souls of the earth. They're just amazing. You know, they're just so different to the city people. The country folks are completely different. And, you know, it has just been an amazing, just an amazing journey, you know, when you think about it. But a lot of people do. They pack up and they move, but they pack up and move with someone. I packed up and moved with my dog. So And for the people who listen to this, who, you know, there are many people who have been there for me as part of my journey. I'm not going to mention everyone by name, but you know who you are. And I just want to say thank you for the support, the love and the encouragement that you have all given me. But here I am. And as I said, 1st of October tomorrow. And you know, from now, my vision is I want to be a self-love concierge for local ladies in the area to pamper them with beauty treatments. You know, I've got 40 years experience in the industry. I'm also wanting to do retreats and work on that self-love, self-care and a little selfish lifestyle and share it with women how they can have a fulfilling life. Because, you know, a lot of times we are self-sacrificing all the time as women, and we also reach a stage in our life where we can be, you know, 55 onwards, and, you know, the kids have grown up and life's different, and we have that sort of empty nest feeling, or we can feel a little bit lost, or all of a sudden we go, do you know what, I've got time now and money to go and have those beauty treatments. I've got the time to go to a retreat and money. And I've also wanting to get to know myself a little bit more. And that's where the self-love, self-care mentoring comes into place. So there you go. That's what's happening. And there is more happening. There's going to be stage two and stage three of Appleton Cottage. And but I just wanted to say, life is grand. Sometimes we have to step up, we've got to step out, and we've got to make things happen. And if you are listening to this and you are a bit of at a crossroad and you're not too sure where you want to go, what you want to do, and there are a lot of single ladies out there who are, you know, 55 plus, who have to make some choices and some decisions. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't help you in that way. But sometimes we just, we need to have someone to listen to us and to help us live the best life that we possibly can, or live the best life that we deserve to live. And we can all do that. So that's it for now. If you want to know more about my journey, you can go over to my website. It's debbiemagella.com. You can see different services that I offer. And I'm really excited about my future. And I think many people may want to do what I've done, but they're just unsure of the uncertainty. And today, though, you know, so many things can happen. We can just change our lives. And so many, we realized when the pandemic hit that so many people work from home now. And it's just changed. Things are changing every day. So remember, self-love, self-care, and a little selfish. It's okay to be selfish. And if you've been self-sacrificing, which most women do, for a long time, and you need to change and you want to go into a different direction, reach out to me and let's have a chat. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Ciao for now.